Read the UBC. It's only the largest student newspaper in Western Canada, and it's written and edited entirely by UBC students. The UBC is your source for on-campus news, culture, and sports. New editions come out every Monday and Thursday. For breaking news as well as amazing videos and blogs, check out ubc.ca.
Discorder Magazine has been supporting local music for over 30 years. Thanks to the long-term support of the Rickshaw Theater, Discorder lives. Your favorite bands are playing at the Rickshaw Theater. Check out their calendar just behind the cover of Discorder Magazine or at rickshawtheater.com.
Out there will be smashed to bits. Use your emergency equipment.
It won't work. Nothing works.
It's got to.
It's no use.
Everything seems to be stuck. My life's worth a try anyway. Come on, fellas. You can make it.
Just listen to this. Spider-Man saves freighter. You can't tell me the captain couldn't have brought his ship in without the help of that publicity-seeking show-off, Spider-Man!
Don't get caught wasting power. Unplug cell phone, camera, and other battery chargers when charging is complete. Many electronic devices continue to use power even when you are not operating them. The amount of energy consumed by electronics in a year when they were not in use could power Whistler Blackcomb Resorts for 43 years. This Power Smart play brought to you by BC Hydro Power Smart and CITR 101.9 FM.
Brilliantly recreated. If these eyes could weep. Rather strong a metaphor, mind you. No criticism, only a matter of taste. And so here you are, with a vengeance. Let's see. Well, let's say we've made up for it, for you may have no doubt whom to thank for your performance at the court.
We are counting on you to take him out of himself. You are the pleasures which we draw him onto. And by that, I don't mean your usual filth. You can't treat royalty like people with normal perverted desires. They know nothing of that, and you know nothing of them. So, give him a good clean show suitable for all the family, or you can rest assured you'll be playing the tavern tonight.
Or the night after.
Or not.
We already have an entry here, and always have had.
You've played for him before?
Yes.
And what's his bent?
Classical.
Saucy.
And what will you play?
The Murder of Gonzago.
Full of fine cadence and corpses.
Pirated from the Italian.
What is it about?
It's about a king and queen.
Escapism. What else?
Blood.
Love and rhetoric.
Yes.
Where are you going?
I can come and go as I please.
You're evidently a man who knows his way around.
I've been here before.
We're still finding our feet.
I should concentrate on not losing your head.
You speak from knowledge?
Precedent.
You've been here before.
And I know which way the wind is blowing.
Wait. The truth is, we value your company, for want of any other. We have been left so long to our own devices. After a while, one welcomes the uncertainty of being left to other people's.
Uncertainty is the normal state. You are nobody special.
But for God's sake, what are we supposed to do?
Relax. Respond. That's what people do. You can't go through life questioning your situation at every turn.
But we don't know what's going on or what to do with ourselves. We don't know how to act.
Act natural. You know why you're here.
We only know what we're told, and that's little enough. And for all we know, it isn't even true.
For all anyone knows, nothing is. Everything has to be taken on trust. Truth is only that which is taken to be true. It's the currency of living. There may be nothing behind it, but it doesn't make any difference so long as it is honored. One acts on assumptions. But what do you assume?
Hamlet is not himself, outsider in. We have to glean what afflicts him.
He doesn't give much away.
Who does nowadays?
He's melancholy.
Melancholy?
Mad.
How is he mad?
Ah. How is he mad?
More morose than madness.
Melancholy.
Moody. He has moods.
Of moroseness?
Madness. And yet quite. For instance, he talks to himself, which might be madness.
If he didn't talk sense, which he does.
Which suggests the opposite.
Of what?
I think I have it. A man talking sense to himself is no madder than a man talking nonsense not to himself.
Or just as mad.
Or just as mad.
And he does both.
So there you are.
Stark raving sane.
Why?
Ah. Why?
Exactly.
Exactly what?
Exactly why?
Exactly why what?
What?
Why?
Why what exactly?
Why is he mad?
I don't know.
The old man thinks he's in love with his daughter.
Good God. We're out of our depth here.
No. He hasn't got a daughter. The old man thinks he's in love with his daughter.
The old man is?
Hamlet in love. The old man's daughter, the old man thinks.
Ah! It's beginning to make sense. Unrequited passion. Nobody leave this room!
Without a very good reason.
I have lied, Fulan.
Pa.
Next!
What did you expect?
Something. Someone? Nothing. You hungry?
No. You?
No. What should we do now?
This.
Ah. Now we've done that. What should we do next?
You think we have a future?
It's the normal thing.
To have one.
One is,
after all, having it all the time. Now.
It could go on forever. Well, not forever, I suppose. Do you ever think of yourself as actually dead? Lying in a box with a lid on it?
No.
Nor do I, really. Oh, it's silly to be depressed by it. I mean, one thinks of it like being alive in a box. One keeps forgetting to take into account the fact that one is dead, which should make all the difference, shouldn't it? I mean, you'd never know you were in a box, would you? It'd be just like being asleep in a box. Not that I like to sleep in a box, mind you, not without the air. You'd wake up dead for a start, and then where would you be? In a box. That's the bit I don't like, frankly. That's why I don't think of it. Because you'd be helpless, wouldn't you, stuffed in a box like that? I mean, you'd be in there forever. Even taking into account the fact that you're dead, it isn't a very pleasant thought. Especially if you're dead, really. Ask yourself, if I asked you straight off, I'm going to stuff you in this box now, would you rather be alive or dead? Actually, you'd prefer to be alive. Life in a box is better than no life at all. I expect. Have a chance, at least. You could lie there thinking, well, at least I'm not dead. In a minute, someone's going to bang on the lid and tell me to come out. Hey, you, what's your name? Come out of there.
You don't have to flog it to death.
I wouldn't think about it if I were you. You'd only get depressed. Where's it going to end? Two early Christians chance to meet in heaven. Saul of Tarsus here, cried one. What are you doing here? Tarsus, Marcius, replied the other. I'm Paul already. They don't care. We count for nothing. We could remain silent till we're green in the face, they wouldn't come.
Blue. Red.
A Christian, a Muslim, and a Jew chance to meet in a closed carriage. Silverstein, cried the Jew, who's your friend? His name's Abdullah, replied the Muslim, but he's no friend of mine since he became a convert. All right! We know you're there! Come out talking! no control. None at all. Whatever became of the moment when one first knew about death? There must have been one. A moment in childhood when it first occurred to you that you don't go on forever. It must have been shattering, stamped into one's memory. Yet I can't remember it. It never occurred to me at all. What does one make of that? We must be born with an intuition of mortality. Before we know the words for it, before we know that there are words, out we come, bloodied and squalling, with the knowledge that for all the points of the compass, there's only one direction. And time is its only measure. A Hindu, a Buddhist, and a lion tamer chance to meet in a circus on the Indo-Chinese border. They're taking us for granted. But I won't stand for it. In future, notice will be taken. Keep out, then. I forbid anyone to enter. That's better.
And can you, by no drift of confidence, get from him why he puts on this confusion, grating so harshly all his days of quiet with turbulent and dangerous lunacy?
He does confess he feels himself distracted, but from what cause it will by no means speak.
Nor do we find him forward to be sounded, but with a crafty madness keeps aloof when we would bring him on to some confession of his true state.
Did he receive you well?
Most like a gentleman.
But with much forcing of his disposition.
A niggard of question, but of our demands most free in his reply.
Did you assay him to any pastime?
Madam, it so fell out that certain players we are wrought on the way. Of these we told him, and there did seem in him a kind of joy to hear of it. They are here about the court, and as I think they have already ordered this knight to play before him.
'Tis most true, and he beseeches me to entreat your majesties to hear and see the matter.
With all my heart, and it doth content me to hear him so inclined. Good gentlemen, give him a further edge and drive his purpose into these delights.
We shall, my lord.
Sweet Gertrude, leave us too. For we have closely sent for Hamlet hither, that he, as it were, by accident, may hear of Grand Ophelia. Her father and myself, lawful as
mine. Never a moment's peace. In and out, on and off, they're coming at us from all sides.
You're never satisfied.
I'm going. He's coming.
What's he doing?
Nothing.
He must be doing something.
Walking.
On his hands.
No, on his feet.
Stark naked.
Fully dressed.
Selling toffee apples.
Not that I notice.
You could be wrong.
I don't think so.
What's he doing?
Talking.
To himself?
Yes.
I can't for the life of me see how we're going to get into conversation.
The best thing is, you creep up behind him, clap your hands over his eyes, and say, guess who?
Why don't you?
You're the one who claims to know who you are.
Shh. Here comes the fair figure.
Do it to her.
She's reading a prayer book.
Better not, then. We're almost bound to disappoint her.
Nim. In thy orisons, be all my sins remembered.
Good my lord, how does your honor for this many a day?
I humbly thank you. Well. And off they go.
And on they come.
It's like living in a public park.
Is it the queen?
I'm sick of this. Guess who?
Oh. Alfred.
Alfred.
Sir.
Right, we haven't got much time.
What are you doing?
A dress rehearsal. Oh. Everyone ready? Yeah. And for goodness sake, remember what we're doing.
Yeah.
We always use the same costumes, more or less, in every rehearsal they're supposed to be in, you see. Stop picking your nose, Alfred. When queens have two, they do it by a cerebral process passed down in the blood. Good. Silence. Go.
Oh, that's it!
No. Dumb show first. Confounded majesty.
Oh.
They're a bit out of practice, but they always pick up wonderfully for the guests. It brings out the poetry.
How nice.
There's nothing more unconvincing than an unconvincing death.
I'm sure.
Act one moves now.
What is the dumb show for?
Well, it's a device, really. It makes the action that follows more or less comprehensible. You understand? We are tied down to a language which makes up in obscurity what it lacks in style. Here you see a gangrene embrace. She lays him down to sleep and leaves him. Look, here comes another. Who pours poison in the sleeper's ear? Who is he? The king's brother and uncle to the prince.
Not exactly fraternal.
And not exactly avuncular as time goes on. Now the queen returns. Finding the king dead makes passionate grief. The poisoner returns to console with her, woos her with gifts. She is harsh a while. But look, now, the end accepts his love.
Don't talk! I'm no moron! It has made me mad! I say we will have no more marriage. Those that are married already, all but one, shall live. The rest shall keep as they are. To a nunnery, no!
Hamlet runs amok, anon, abusing the fair Ophelia, and departs. Meanwhile, the king...
No! His affections do not that way, then.
Who has overheard it all?
Wait a minute, that was real.
There's something in his soul or with his melancholy...
I got carried away.
And I doubt the hat on the disclosed will be some danger. Quick thought of event, I have in quick determination thus set it down. He shall, with speed, to England... For the demand of our...
Gentlemen, it doesn't seem to be coming. We are not getting it at all.
Oh.
What did you think?
What was I supposed to think?
We're not getting across.
But if he's in love with the old man's daughter, he's got a funny way of showing it.
Just what the king said, though he hasn't got your way with words.
It was a mess.
It's going to be chaos on the night. Keep back. We're spectators.
Act two. Position.
Wasn't that the end?
Do you call that an ending? With practically everyone on his feet, my goodness, no. Over your dead body.
How am I supposed to take that?
Lying down. There's a design at work in all art. Surely you know that. Events must play themselves out to an aesthetic, moral, and logical conclusion.
And what's that in this case?
It never varies. We aim at the point where everyone who is marked for death dies.
Marked?
Between just deserts and tragic irony, we are given quite a lot of scope for our particular talent. Generally speaking, things have gone about as far as they can possibly go, and things have got about as bad as they can reasonably get.
Who decides?
Decides? It is written. We are tragedians, you see. We follow directions. There is no choice involved. The bad end unhappily, the good unluckily. That is what tragedy means.
Positions! Go!
Having murdered his brother and wooed the widow, the poisoner mounts the throne. Here we see him and his queen give rein to their unbridled passion. She, little knowing, that the man she holds in her arms...
Oh, I say, here, really, you can't do that.
Why not?
Well, really, I mean, people want to be entertained. They don't come expecting sordid and gratuitous filth.
You're wrong. They do. Murder, seduction, and incest. What do you want? Jokes?
I want a good story with a beginning, middle, and end.
And you?
I'd prefer art to mirror life, if it's all the same to you.
It is all the same to me, sir. All right! No need to indulge yourselves. Up you get. Next! Lucianus, nephew to the king. Usurped by his uncle and shattered by his mother's incestuous marriage, he loses his reason. Throwing the court into turmoil and disarray as he alternates between bitter melancholy and unrestricted lunacy. Staggering from the suicidal to the homicidal. He at last confronts his mother and in a scene of provocative ambiguity begs her to repent and recant. The king, tormented by guilt, haunted by fear, decides to dispatch his nephew to England and entrust this undertaking to two smiling accomplices, friends, courtiers, to two spies. giving them a letter to present to the English court. And so they depart on board ship, and they arrive and disembark and present themselves before the English king. But where is the prince? Where indeed? The plot has thickened. A twist of fate and cunning has left our two heroes empty-handed, save for a letter which seals their deaths.
Stop! Our two heroes? What heroes? That has hardly anything to do with it. Let me see if I follow this correctly. A king is poisoned by his brother, who then woos and weds the queen, whereupon Lucianus, usurped by his uncle and shattered by his mother's incestuous marriage, loses his reason, stabs a courtier through a curtain, and is dispatched to England under escort, to wit, a couple of friends, who by a twist of fate and cunning are left princeless and empty-handed, save for a letter which seals their deaths. Well, I'd say that what you've got there is what people in the business might call a bit of an anticlimax. Why them?
It's what they do best. Actors have to exploit whatever talent is given to them, and in this case, their talent is dying. They can die heroically, comically, ironically, slowly, suddenly, disgustingly, charmingly, or from a great height. My own talent is more general. I extract significance from melodrama, a significance which it does not, in fact, contain. But occasionally, from out of this matter, there escapes a thin beam of light that, seen at the right angle, can crack shell of mortality.
Actors, the mechanics of cheap melodrama, that isn't death. You scream and choke and sink to your knees, but it doesn't bring death home to anyone. It doesn't catch them unawares and start the whisper in their skulls that says, one day, you are going to die. You die so many times. How can you expect them to believe in your death?
On the contrary, it's the only kind they do believe. They're conditioned to it. Now, I had an actor once who was condemned to hang for stealing sheep. Or a lamb. So I got permission to have him hanged in the middle of a play. Had to change the plot a bit, but I thought it would be effective, you know. And you wouldn't believe it. He just wasn't convincing. It was impossible to suspend one's disbelief. And what with the audience cheering and throwing peanuts, the whole thing was a disaster. He did nothing but cry all the time, right out of character. Just stood there and cried. Never again. Audiences know what to expect, and that is all that they are prepared to believe in.
Gentlemen, show the gentlemen how to die.
No, you've got it all wrong. You can't act death. The fact of it has nothing to do with seeing it happen. It's not gasps and blood and falling about. That isn't what makes it death. It's just a man failing to reappear. That's all. Now you see him, now you don't. That's the only thing that's real. Here 1 minute and gone the next, never coming back. An exit, unobtrusive and unannounced. A disappearance, gathering weight as it goes on. Until, finally, it is heavy with death.
The king rises.
You are frightened with false fire.
How fares, my lord?
Give more than a place.
Give me some light! Away!
Light! Why let the stricken deer go weep, the heart ungalled play? For some must watch while some must sleep. Thus runs the world away.
Are you there?
Yes.
Where?
Dark, isn't it? Is that you?
Yes.
This is me.
So it's us.
We're not finished.
Well, we're here, aren't we?
Are we? I can't see a thing.
You can still think, can't you?
I think so.
You can still talk?
What should I say?
Don't bother. You can feel, can't you?
Ah, there's life in me yet.
What are you feeling?
A leg. Yes, it feels like my leg.
How does it feel?
Dead.
Dead?
I can't feel a thing.
Give it a pinch.
Ah, sorry.
Well, that's cleared that up.
On a boat, I'd say.
Stygian, would you say?
Too dark to tell. Do you find it dark yourself?
Not for night.
No, not for night.
Dark for day.
Oh, yes, dark for day.
We must have gone north, of course.
Of course.
Land of the midnight sun.
Of course. Land of the midday stars. Let's see now. The plow, otherwise known as the Great Bear. The Little Bear, otherwise known as the Seven Sisters. Cancer the Crab, Capricorn the Goat, Rover the Dog.
Rover the Dog.
Geminus the Twin, Geminus the Other One, Venus the Mount, and O'Brien's Belt.
What about them?
Can't find them. It's just a lot of stars to me. I'd say we're lost.
Brilliant.
I'll be all right when the sun comes up. Gives one a fair idea of the east. Once you've got east, you're halfway there. Everything else falls into place. West, north. West-northwest, west-west-north, south. Actually, I think it's getting lighter. The sun's coming up. Oh, there you are.
Would you do something for me?
Yes.
Just shut up.
Oh, right. That must be east then. At last. What a night, eh?
What a night.
Yes, what a night.
I said it would be chaos on the night.
You did. Well, well.
You think so?
They've done us.
Done what? It doesn't seem enough to have breathed such significance. Can that be all? And why us? Anybody would have done. And we've contributed nothing.
Oh, the sun's up all right. Well up. Must be getting on for midnight this far north. Should we turn in?
Tired?
No. I don't think I'd take to it. Sleep all night, can't see a thing all day. Those Eskimos must have a quiet life.
Where?
What?
I thought you. I've lost all capacity for disbelief. I'm not even sure I could rise to a little gentle skepticism.
Oh, I don't like the cold. Is this their summer?
It's autumnal.
Leaves a lot to be desired.
Autumnal, nothing to do with leaves. It's to do with a certain chill at the very outside edge of the senses. What was dewy to the touch is damp. What was bright to the eye, like flame, is bright like ice. And the cloudiness of rising smoke falls back upon the earth like fog. At such times, perhaps, coincidentally, the leaves might fall somewhere by repute.
Well, should we stretch our legs?
I don't feel like stretching my legs.
I'll stretch them for you, if you like.
No, thank you.
We could stretch each other's. Then we wouldn't have to go anywhere.
I'd rather not. If we make a move, they'll come pouring in from every side, shouting obscure instructions, calling off us with elliptical remarks, messing us about from here to breakfast and getting our names wrong. It would be just as well if, on top of all that, they didn't find us stretching each other's legs when they start coming in, don't you think?
In where?
Out here.
In out here?
On deck. Yes?
Nothing. Nice bit of planking, that.
Yes. I'm very fond of boats myself. I like the way they're contained. You don't have to worry about which way to go, or whether to go at all, the question doesn't arise. Because you're on a boat, aren't you? Boats are safe areas in the game of tag. The players will hold their positions until the music starts. I think I'll spend most of my life on boats.
Ah, very healthy.
One is free. On a boat? At a time? Relatively.
What's it like?
Rough.
I think I'm going to be sick.
Other side. Leeward.
You know everything.
I know which way the wind is blowing.
Free to move. Speak. Extemporize. And yet, we have not been cut loose. Our truancy is defined by one fixed star, and our drift represents merely a slight change of angle to it. We may seize the moment, toss it around while the moments pass, a short dash here, an exploration there, but we are brought round full circle to face the single immutable fact that we, Rosencrantz and Guildenstern, bearing a letter from one king to another, are taking Hamlet to England.
I say, he's there.
Naturally. What's he doing?
Sleeping.
It's all right for him.
What is?
He can sleep.
It's all right for him.
He's got us now.
He can sleep.
It's all done for him.
He's got us.
And we've got nothing.
And we've got nothing.
Why don't you say something original? No wonder the whole thing is so stagnant. You don't take me up on anything. You just repeat it in a different order.
I can't think of anything original. I'm only good in support.
I'm sick of making the running.
Allow me. Your call.
Heads we win, tails we lose.
Oh, what's going to become of us?
Don't cry. It's all right. There, there. I'll see we're all right.
Well, we've got nothing to go on. We're out on our own.
We're on our way to England. We're taking Hamlet there.
What for?
What? Where have you been?
When? We don't know what to do when we get there.
We take him to the king.
Will he be there?
No, the King of England.
He's expecting us.
No.
He won't know what we're playing at. What are we going to say?
We've got a letter. You remember the letter?
Do I?
Everything is explained in the letter. We count on that.
Is that it, then?
What?
We take Hamlet to the English king. We hand over the letter. What then?
There may be something in the letter to keep us going for a bit.
And if not?
That's it, then. We're finished.
At a loose end?
Yes.
Are there likely to be loose ends? Who is the English king?
That depends on when we get there.
What do you think it says?
Oh, greetings, expressions of loyalty, asking of favours, calling in of debts, obscure promises balanced by vague threats, diplomacy, regards to the family.
And about Hamlet?
Oh, yes.
And us, the full background?
I should say so.
So, we've got a letter which explains everything.
You've got it. What's the matter?
The letter.
Have you got it?
Have I? Where would I have put it?
You can't have lost it.
I must have.
That's odd. I thought he gave it to me.
Perhaps he did.
But you seem so sure it was you who hadn't got it.
It was me that hadn't got it.
But if he gave it to me, there's no reason why you should have had it in the first place, in which case I don't see what all the fuss is about you not having it.
I admit it's confusing.
Tighten up. We must not lose control. Now. Either you have lost the letter, or you didn't have it to lose in the first place, in which case he gave it to me. In which case, I would have put it into my inside top pocket, in which case, it will be here. We mustn't drop off like that again.
Now that we've found it, why were we looking for it?
We thought it was lost.
Something else.
No. What a shambles. We're just not getting anywhere.
Not even England. I don't believe in it anyway.
What?
England.
Just a conspiracy of cartographers, you mean?
I mean I don't believe it. I have no image. I try to picture us arriving. A little harbour, perhaps. Roads. Inhabitants to point the way. Horses on the road. Riding for a day or a fortnight. And then a palace and the English king. That would be the logical kind of thing. But my mind remains a blank. No, we're slipping off the map.
Yes, yes, but you don't believe in anything till it happens. And it has all happened, hasn't it?
We drift down time, clutching at straws, but what good's a brick to a drowning man? We might as well be dead. Do you think death could possibly be a boat?
No, no, no. Death is not. Death isn't. You take my meaning. Death is the ultimate negative, not being. You can't not be on a boat.
I've frequently not been on boats.
No, no, no. What you've been is not on boats.
I wish I was dead. I could jump over the side. That would put a spoke in their wheel.
Unless they're counting on it.
I shall remain on board. That'll put a spoke in their wheel. All right. We don't question. We don't doubt. We perform. But a line must be drawn somewhere, and I would like to put it on record that I have no confidence in England. Thank you. And even if it's true, it'll just be another shambles.
I don't see why.
He won't know what we're talking about. What are we going to say?
We say, Your Majesty, we have arrived.
And who are you?
We are Rosencrantz and Guildenstern.
Never heard of you.
Well, we're nobody special.
What's your game?
We've got our instructions.
First I've heard of it.
Let me finish. We've come from Denmark.
What do you want?
Nothing. We're delivering Hamlet.
Who's he?
You've heard of him.
Oh, I've heard of him, all right. I want nothing to do with it.
But,
you march in here without so much as a buy or leave and expect me to take in every lunatic you try to pass off with a lot of unsubstantiated...
We've got a letter.
I see. Well, this seems to support your story, such as it is. It is an exact command from the King of Denmark for several different reasons, importing Denmark's health and England's too, that on the reading of this letter, without delay, I should have Hamlet's head cut off. Hamlet's head cut off? The sun's going down. It'll be dark soon.
Do you think so?
I was just making conversation. We're his friends.
How do you know?
From our young days, brought up with him.
You've only got their word for it.
But that's what we depend on.
Well, yes. And then again, no. Let us keep things in proportion. Assume, if you like, that they're going to kill him. Well, he is a man. He is mortal. Death comes to us all, etc. And consequently, he would have died anyway, sooner or later. Or, to look at it from the social point of view, he's just one man among many. The loss would be well within reason and convenience. And then again, what is so terrible about death? As Socrates so philosophically put it, since we don't know what death is, it is illogical to fear it. It might be very nice. Certainly, it is a release from the burden of life, and for the godly, a haven and a reward. Or to look at it another way, we are little men. We don't know the ins and outs of the matter. There are wheels within wheels, etc. It would be presumptuous of us to interfere with the designs of fate, or even of kings. All in all, I think we'd be well advised to leave well alone. Tie up the letter. There. If you like that. They won't notice the broken seal, assuming you were in character.
But what's the point?
Don't apply logic.
He's done nothing to us.
Or justice.
It's awful.
But it could have been worse. I was beginning to think it was.
The position as I see it. We, Rosencrantz and Guildenstern, from our young days brought up with him, awakened by a man standing on his saddle, are summoned and arrive, and are instructed to glean what afflicts him and draw him onto pleasures, such as a play, which unfortunately, as it turns out, is abandoned in some confusion owing to certain nuances outside our appreciation, which, among other causes, results in, among other effects, a high, not to say homicidal, excitement in Hamlet, whom we, in consequence, are escorting for his own good, to England. Is that it? Right. I'll watch the tape. I'll take the watch first. No, I've got it. I'll take the first watch. Oh, it's not such a bad life afloat. Plenty to do. Focus the telescopes.
Scour the focusle. Foul the scuppers.
Secure the scurvy. Overhaul the keel. Keelhaul the bosun.
Only stir the crow's nest. Splice the brace.
Pace the sloop. Sluice the poop. Sleep.
My dream was entirely different.
Thank Christ.
I dreamt he took our letter from your pocket.
No, it's all right. I've still got it.
And then that he put it back.
You were asleep. I took your watch.
What's the time?
No, I mean I took your watch.
What's the time?
No, your watch.
Never mind.
What's the time?
That's a good idea. Let's infuriate each other.
What?
Shut up!
Thunder. Like drums. It's coming up through the floor.
Hold on.
From the cellar.
Hold, hold.
From the hold! Hey, you! What's your name? Come out of there!
Quiet.
Look out, the ship's capsizing!
No, you are sitting on the hatch.
Ah! All in the same boat, then. Everybody out! Where are we?
Travelling.
Of course, we haven't got there yet.
Are we all right for England?
Look all right to me. I don't think they're very particular in England. Alfred!
What are you doing here?
Touring. Every man for himself. Woman and children first. Or rather, Alfred. Yes. Did you ever see such a motley crew? More motley than crew. They're going to have to work their passage to the bone.
They'll be clapped in irons.
Any applause is welcome. Well, pleased to see us. You've come out of it very well so far.
And you?
In disfavor. Our play offended the king.
Yes.
Well, he's a second husband himself. Tactless, really.
What were you doing in there?
Hiding. We had to run for it just as we were.
Stowaways?
Naturally. We didn't get paid. Owing to circumstances ever so slightly beyond our control, and all the money we had, we lost betting on certainties. Life is a gamble at terrible odds. If it was a bet, you wouldn't take it. Did you know that any number doubled is even?
Is it?
We learn something every day to our cost. But we troopers just go on and on. And do you know what happens to old actors?
What?
Nothing. They're still acting. Surprised, then?
What?
A surprise to see us.
I knew it wasn't the end.
With practically everyone on his feet. What do you make of it so far?
We haven't got much to go on.
The old man is dead, stabbed through the arras, and no, don't say it. I do the jokes.
Hamlet killed him after your play was stopped.
It's always happening.
We're taking him to England. There he is. Look.
Coming this way.
Doesn't have much to say for himself.
Only to himself.
What does he think he's doing?
Ask him.
He's spitting in the wind. Lend him your hanky.
He's going back.
You speak to him.
Is it allowed?
Allowed, yes. We are not restricted. No boundaries have been defined. No inhibitions imposed. We have for the while secured or blundered into our release for the while. Spontaneity and whim are the order of the day. Other wheels are turning, but they are not our concern. We can breathe, we can relax, we can do what we like and say what we like to whomever we like without restriction.
Within limits, of course.
Certainly within limits.
A compulsion towards philosophical introspection is his chief characteristic, if I may put it like that. It does not mean he is mad, it does not mean he isn't. Very often, it doesn't mean anything at all, which may or may not be a kind of madness.
It really boils down to symptoms. Pregnant replies, mystic illusions, mistaken identities, arguing his father at his mother, that sort of thing. Intimations of suicide, forgoing of exercise, loss of mirth. Hints of claustrophobia, not to say delusions of imprisonment. Invocations of camels, chameleons, capons, whales, weasels, hawks, handsaws, riddles, quibbles, and evasions. Amnesia, paranoia, myopia, daydreaming, hallucinations, stabbing his elders, abusing his parents, insulting his lover, and appearing hatless in public, knock-kneed, droop-stockinged, and sighing like a lovesick schoolboy, which at his age is coming on a bit strong.
And talking to himself.
And talking to himself. But where has that got us?
He's the player.
His play offended the king.
Offended the king.
Who orders his arrest.
Orders his arrest.
So he escapes to England.
On the boat on which he meets
Guildenstern and Rosencrantz, taking Hamlet.
Who also offended the king.
And killed Polonius.
Offended the king in a variety of ways.
To England. That seems to be it.
Incidents! All we get is incidents. Dear God, is it too much to expect a little sustained action?
What are they that would speak with me?
Seafaring men, sir. They say they have letters for you.
Let them come in. I do not know from what part of the world I should be greeted, if not from Lord Hamlet.
God bless you, sir.
Let him bless thee, too.
I shall, sir, and it please him. There's a letter for you, sir, if your name be Horatio, as I am let to know it is.
Horatio, when thou shalt have overlooked this, give these fellows some means to the king. They have letters for him. Ere we were 2 days old at sea, a pirate of very warlike appointment gave us chase. Finding ourselves too slow of sail, we put on a compelled valor, and in the grapple I boarded them. On the instant they got clear of our ship, so I alone became their prisoner. They have dealt with me like thieves of mercy. Repair thou to me, speak in thine ear, will make thee dumb. These good fellows will bring me where I am. Rosencrantz and Guildenstern hold their course for England. Farewell, Hamlet.
Farewell, Hamlet.
What do you mean? Where is he?
Gone.
Gone? Where?
Yes, we were dead lucky there, if that's the word I'm after.
Dead?
Lucky.
Is he dead?
Who knows?
He's not coming back.
Hartley.
He's dead, then. He's dead as far as we're concerned.
Oh, we are as far as he is. Not too bad, is it?
But he can't. We're supposed to be... We've got a letter. We're going to England with a letter for the king.
Yes, that much seems certain. I congratulate you on the unambiguity of your situation.
But you don't understand. It contains... We've had our instructions. The whole thing's pointless without him.
Pirates could happen to anyone. Just deliver the letter. They'll send ambassadors from England to explain...
Can't you see? The pirates left us home and dry. Dry and home. Drome. The pirates left us high and dry. Nothing will be resolved without him. We need Hamlet for our release. What are we supposed to do?
This.
Saved again.
Saved? For what?
The sun's going down. It'll be night soon. If that's West, unless we...
Shut up! I'm sick of it. Do you think conversation is going to help us now? We've travelled too far and our momentum has taken over. We move idly towards eternity without possibility of reprieve or hope of explanation.
Be happy? If you're not even happy, what's so good about surviving? We'll be all right. I suppose we just go on.
Go? Where?
To England.
England. That's a dead end. I never believed in it anyway.
All we've got to do is make our report and that'll be that, surely.
I don't believe it. Ashore, a harbour, say, and we get off and we stop someone and say, where's the king? And he says, oh, you follow that road over there, take the person on the left, and I don't believe it.
It doesn't sound very plausible.
And even if we come face to face, what do we say?
We say... We were right.
And who are you?
We are Guildenstern and Rosencrantz.
Which is which?
Well, I'm...
What's it all about?
We were bringing Hamlet and then some pirates.
I don't begin to understand. Who are all these people? What's it got to do with me? You turn them out of the blue with some cock and bull story.
We have a letter.
A letter? Well, yes, that's true. That's something, a letter. As England is Denmark's faithful tributary, as love between them like the palm and might flourish, etc., then on the knowing of this contents without delay of any kind, should those bearers Rosencrantz and Guildenstern put to sudden death.
Put to sudden death. They had it in for us, didn't they? Right from the beginning. Who'd have thought we were so important?
But why? Was it all for this? Who are we that so much should converge on our little deaths? Who are we?
You are Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. That's enough.
No, it is not enough. To be told so little to such an end and still finally to be denied an explanation.
In our experience, most things end in death.
Your experience. You wear your weapons for show. This one, too.
Please be careful with that.
Now you're afraid.
Only for my dagger. It's of great sentimental value. I've had it since my first death.
I'm talking about your last. And you've never experienced that.
and you cannot act it, you die a thousand casual deaths with none of that intensity which squeezes out life, and no blood runs cold anywhere, because even as you die, you know that you will come back in a different hat. But no one gets up after death. There is no applause. There is only silence and some second-hand clothes. And that's death!
You've killed him!
Oh!
If we have a destiny, then so had he. And if this is ours, then that was his. And if there are no explanations for us, then let there be none for him. All you people, actors, keep your distance!
No flattery. It was merely competent. Now perhaps I may have my dagger. Thank you. Oh, I've killed a good few characters with this dagger in my time. Twice I've replaced the blade, three times the handle, and the spring more times than you will believe.
Oh, very good.
Oh,
took me in completely. Didn't he take you in completely?
No.
Encore.
Oh.
Encore.
Death. For all ages and occasions. Deaths by suspension, convulsion, consumption, incision, execution, asphyxiation and malnutrition. Climactic carnage by poison and by steel. Double death by duel. Show.
Come on, sir.
Come, my lord.
One.
No.
A hit. A very palpable hit.
The queen carouses my fortune.
Madam, do not drink.
It's been poisoned, cup. It is too late.
Hard them, they are incensed.
Oh, drink, I have poison.
Treachery. Seek it out.
It is here, and thou art slain. Lo, here I lie, never to rise again. The king. The king's to blame.
The point envenomed too. Then venom to thy work.
Treason!
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 No, no, not for us. Not like that. Dying is not romantic, and death is not a game which will soon be over. Death is not anything. Death is not. It's the absence of presence, nothing more. The endless time of never coming back. A gap you can't see. And when the wind blows through it, it makes no sound.
Oh, very good. That's it then, is it? The sun's going down. Or the Earth's coming up, as the fashionable theory has it. Not that it makes any difference. What was it all about? When did it begin? Couldn't we just stay put? I mean, nobody's going to come in and drag us off, surely. They'll just have to wait. We're still young, fit. We've got years. We've done nothing wrong. We didn't harm anyone, did we?
I can't remember.
All right, then. I don't care. I've had enough. To tell you the truth, I'm relieved.
Our name shouted in a certain dawn. A message. A summons. There must have been a moment, at the beginning, where we could have said no. Somehow, we missed it. Rosen. Gil. Well, we'll know better next time. Now you see me. Now you... What warlike noise is this?
Young Fortinbras. With conquest come from Poland. To the ambassadors of England gives this warlike volley.
Oh, I die, Irish. The potent poison quite o'ercrows my spirit. I cannot live to hear the news from England. But I do prophesy the election lights on Fortinbras. He has my dying voice. So tell him, with the occurrence more and less which have solicited. The rest
deadly silence.
Now cracks a noble heart. Good night, sweet prince. And flights of angels sing me to thy rest. Why does a drum come hither?
Where is this sight?
What is it you would see? If aught of woe or wonder, cease your search.
This quarry cries on havoc. O proud death, what feast is toward in thine eternal cell that thou so many princes at a shot so bloodily hast struck?
The sight is dismal, and our affairs from England come too late. The ears are senseless that should give us hearing to tell him his commandment is fulfilled. But Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead. Where shall we have our thanks?
Not from his mouth had it the ability of life to thank you. He never gave commandment for their death. But since so jump upon this bloody question, you from the Polack wars and you from England are here arrived. Give order that these bodies, high on a stage, be placed to the view. And let me speak to the yet unknowing world how these things came about.
Edward Petherbridge played Rose Guildenstern. Edward Hardwick played
Rosencrantz.
And Freddie Jones,
the player.
In Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead by Tom Stoppard. Hamlet was played by Martin Jarvis, Gertrude Maxine Audley, Claudius Robert Lang, Polonius William Squire, Ophelia Angela Pleasance, Horatio John Rye, Ambassador Michael Deacon, Fortinbras Philip Sully, and Alfred Anthony Daniels. Other parts were played by Tim Bentick, Andrew Branch, Anthony Daniels, Michael Deacon, Roger Hammond, Philip Sully, Philip Voss, and Peter Wickham. The music was composed and conducted by Mark Wilkinson. The oboe was played by Sidney Sutcliffe, bassoon Cecil James, flute and piccolo Christopher Taylor, drums Roy Jones, and trumpet Ralph Eisen. The play was directed by John Tideman.
Tune in every other Sunday from 3 to 4 p.m. for Blood on the Saddle with your host Dan N. For real, authentic country.
And you're tuned into CITR 101.9 FM. Good evening. My name is Brian McDonald, and that is all the time we have for Scald's Hall. Coming up in a moment, we'll have Canada Post Rock with John. So from all of us here in Vancouver, have a safe and happy weekend.